Judges chapter 9, verses 22 to 56. Now, this is a long passage, but it's a dreadful passage, but it is an honest passage. God's word is honest. It records what goes on. It pulls no punches. It doesn't cover up. It doesn't gloss over. It shows us the consequences of men's actions, men's sins. God is not mocked. What a man sows, he shall also reap. And here it comes in the case of Abimelech. Now, I've called this the fallout or something like that. The fallout. And it's the fallout of Abimelech's actions and all that goes on as a result of that. And it's life in the law. And it's a dreadful catalogue here. I'll be brief upon it. It is a sordid story. It's sin through it all. God is in it, though. Verses 23 and 24. Verses 56 and 57. Thus God repaid the wickedness that Abimelech had done to his father by murdering his 70 brothers. God also made the men of Shechem pay for all their wickedness. The curse of Jotham, son of Jerubbaal, that's Gideon, came on them. 23 to 24, 56 to 57, God is in it. He is working his purpose out. He is dealing with these men. But these men, and the women too, the people involved, they are responsible and they are sinners. And look how it shows. It started with murder and violence and jealousy and pride and boasting and all the rest of it, looking for self and power and all the rest. And look how it develops. Just think of the words. Men fight each other. The cities fight each other. They quarrel with each other. They ambush each other. They murder each other. They set fire to towers and pull places down in all sorts and murder people in their droves by the thousand. It's treachery. It's drunken treachery. It's robbery. There's idolatry here. They have their temples for their idols, their gods. They boast, they brag, they deceive. There's battle, there's war, there's massacre. Cruelty on a massive scale. Setting fire to people and places to burn people alive. It's a storm of fire and war and blood. Look at the death catalogued in this chapter. Look at the pride and boasting and what it leads to. And look how Abimelech, for example, when he's killed by the woman with the millstone, is not worried about eternity. It's not even worried about his death. It's death at the hand of a woman. He doesn't want that reputation. Reputation, name, power, influence, money must be in it somewhere. Self-seeking. The hatred that's there. The self-seeking, the loathing of others. Remarkable, is it not, that Abimelech had killed 70 sons of Gideon on a stone, verse 5. And it was with a millstone that he himself is put to death. You see, these are serious things. God is bringing it home to them. But Abimelech, the men of Shechem, these people, all of them involved in it, are all sinners and responsible. The question comes to me, is the majority always right? Well, it's not right here. What I see here is division, confusion, panic, and pain, all because of sin. As I say again, whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. That's the principle of God's word, and we see it here. Well, what can we say about it? This is the history of Israel. The people of God, the nominal people of God. They have the covenant. They have the law. They have the tradition. They have these leaders. They will have the prophets and all the rest of it. And yet, at heart, this is Israel. They are such a carnal people. What can we say about it? The cruelty, the pain in Israel. But my friend, it's not just true for Israel. is true in the world generally. I have lived, in the first 5 years of my life, I lived in the World War, the Second World War. But there's war raging still. Genocide, murder, hatred. It's going on in the world even as I speak. Look at politics. Look at history, the history of politics. I'm an Englishman, so I'm not following what's going on at the moment with Mr. Trump and the American tweets and all the rest of it. But the confusion, the disorder, the accusations flying about is an abomination. But I'm not standing in a glass house and, you know, as it were, throwing stones, because if I do, I'm going to hit in my own nation. Look at my own nation. I read political memoirs. And although on the surface everything seems lovely and hunky-dory, down below there's hatred, even within one cabinet, even in the same party. There's hatred and self-seeking. Look at the history, say, of communism. Look at Lenin and Trotsky and Stalin, all brothers together, wasn't they? Now, the history shows it. And what's their connection with Marx and Engels? All one is all a lie and deception and deceit. They put out films and propaganda films to hide the truth. Look at Goebbels and the Nazis. Yes, we can see it in nations and in politics. But my friend, this kind of hatred is running rife in many families. But above all, the New Testament shows me that there can be discord and disunity and self-seeking and pride even amongst believers. And that's the solemn thought. Search me, O God, and try my heart. Know me, know my thoughts. If there's any wicked way in me, wash me in the blood of Jesus and lead me in the way everlasting. What a warning is this chapter. God sees it, he's in it, but I'm responsible. It's a word to me as a believer, and to you as a believer. I address you if you are a believer. But you know, the unbeliever too. God sees you, unbeliever, and you will have to account too. The blood of Christ alone can wash us of our sins. The righteousness of Christ alone can clothe us. And whatever else this chapter teaches us, our hope must not rest in men, put no confidence in princes, but look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone can save sinners. May God bless this solemn chapter to us all, and do us good by it, even though it's so evil in itself. Amen.